Welcome to Intersection Live, the tax and accounting profession's premier podcast source, supporting the accountant community. This is Tax Prep Partners to Go, a monthly podcast program with executive editor Darren Root and president and CEO of SurePrep, David Weil, both credentialed CPA CITPs. Listen to Darren and Dave as they explore advanced processes and solutions for tax preparation practices utilizing today's advanced tax document automation technologies.
This is Darren Root, Executive Editor of CPA Practice Advisor with Episode 10 of Tax Partner to Go. So today I have Raj Kapoor with me. Raj is the Executive Vice President for the Center for Project Management in San Ramon, California. So Raj, welcome today.
Hi, Darren. It's great to be with you again.
Great to be with you as well. You know, Raj, today I think we want to talk a little bit about, I want to use your expertise as it relates to change management. You know, as many of our listeners know, and you know, Raj, I run a small firm in Bloomington, Indiana, and I also talk to thousands of accountants a year. And the question that comes back to me over and over again is, you know, I'm so excited about what I'm hearing at this conference today. How do I actually implement change? How do I go back to my firm and make change when I have partners who are not on board and staff who are not on board? Can you kind of give us an overview of what the Center for Project Management does, and then we can get more specific into to maybe some examples?
Absolutely. Thanks. We focus on change management in a variety of ways, and I think the first piece of guidance I always really believe is most important is look at change as a project, because it's got a beginning, a middle, and an end. We're going to get there. We have goals. We've got to organize ourselves around those goals and execute to get it done, because that gives us all a sense of there's a, you know, pot of gold at the end of this rainbow, and it's going to be better than where we are today. And I think that's a really important approach to take for an organization, a small organization that's looking to sort of invest in themselves to get better, to get more efficient, to automate, drive greater quality and efficiency, you know, into the organization. So I think this is a key piece. And the other key piece that comes to mind is leadership, having a really invested leader who gets it, understands the value, and can shepherd the organization through this journey of change, you know, because it does take a while, through to the end, so that those benefits that we've identified early can actually be realized and everybody wins. So these are my first thoughts, and this is the approach we like to take at the center.
You know, Raj, it's funny you say that. I wrote an article in our last month's issue of CPA Practice Advisor talking about this idea that, you know, change is disruptive. The question is, how long is it going to be disruptive? I mean, I like the idea that you say you treat it like a project, because if you treat it like a project and it has beginning, middle, and end, then you can actually quantify the period of disruption. Because, I mean, change is always creates some set of challenges that changes a process potentially and creates a little disruption. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And it's interesting when we look at the impact that change has. It impacts us on many levels. It impacts how we do our work day to day, what my work day looks and feels like, what I'm used to. Well, that changes. It also changes potentially my role in the organization, because if we bring new automation in and I used to do something in a non-automated fashion, well, that might change my role. I don't need to do that piece anymore. So now what am I going to do? And that can create fear, because, you know, especially in this day and age, hey, I don't want to be automated out of a job. But at the same time, if I look at it differently, that could create an opportunity for me, because now I can do something of higher value, greater value. Maybe this is now a path for me in the organization. Well, this is about leadership drawing that vision out. It's not just about we're going to bring a new technology in. And here's what's in it for you. So as you said, change is disruptive, but what we focus on is making sure that change is productively disruptive. And that's a new concept for a lot of organizations that aren't familiar or used to change in a sort of large systemic way. And I'll tell you, in the accounting industry, we have a culture generally that isn't the most comfortable with change. There are some industries that are more progressive and forward-looking, and there are some that are very traditional and staid in their view and perspective for good reason, for very good reason. So it's that tricky balance of finding how can we be productively disruptive to the organization, keep people engaged, and make sure, again, we achieve the benefits that we've outlined early in the process.
Wow, Raj, you bring up some really great points there. You know, our profession is a little more traditional, but man, change is really on us in a big way and has been for at least the last 20-plus years.
Yep.
What I'm seeing is a larger divide between the firms that are really moving ahead and those that are not. You know, used to, we kind of all did a lot of the same sort of things in the profession. Some people were maybe a little bit better at it than others. But now there's this huge divide that's taking place for those firms that are embracing and doing change well in their firms and adopting new technologies, whereas other firms that are less comfortable with that, who are not willing to take the plunge, are falling, in my mind, farther and farther behind.
Yes, and you know, our guidance to our clients is from a leadership perspective, you know, running your firm, think of change as a constant, certainly, and it's not about if it will happen, it's when it will happen. And if you take a proactive, project-driven approach, then you can manage it in an elegant fashion as opposed to react to the change that's pushed upon you. Because whether it be mandate from the federal or state government side, whether it be a mandate from your customer base that begins to expect a different experience from their accounting firm, and many do. As the customer base out there become more and more sophisticated and empowered to use their own technologies and their own tools to be a bigger part of this process, then their expectations change, which can also be a push on the organization. So what we want to do is put clients in a position of a leadership role to say, not only do we understand it, but we're going to help you, customer, and we're going to help you, internal team, to really embrace it and take advantage of it, as opposed to feel victimized by it. And that has everything to do with attitude, which, you know, when we're changing, we feel a bit out of control. But I'll tell you, there's one thing we can control is our attitude.
Sure.
So I think it's an important piece to think about as well.
Absolutely. Well, Raj, I'd like to take an example and maybe kind of work through it from your perspective on how I can be thinking about some change in my own firm.
Great.
What I'm looking at today is, you know, traditionally, a lot of small firms, a lot of accounting firms have had this process of what I would call back-end scanning, okay? So paper documents come into an accounting firm. You know, accountants are used to working with paper. But, you know, there was this concept of paperless that was introduced to the profession, 12, 13 years ago. And firms have been sort of trying to get there ever since. But there was this old definition of paperless, which was, you know, as a firm, I just don't want to keep paper anymore. So when that paper came into my office and it worked its way around in a paper sort of way, at the end of the day, instead of printing something out on paper and putting it into a file drawer, I just sent it to a file cabinet, a digital file cabinet, if you will, and I didn't keep paper anymore. Well, what's happening is that the definition of that paperless is changing, where we actually want more of a paperless workflow. So the idea of not keeping paper anymore was change, but it was not drastic change. You know, as opposed to just putting it in a file drawer, now I was putting it in a digital file cabinet. Mm-hmm. So it was fairly similar. Now what I'm looking to do is change my organization and going from having paper routed to actually digitally routing things and changing our whole workflow. So it kind of strikes at the heart of what you were talking about. Now all of a sudden, what people used to do, they're not doing anymore. How do I start thinking about implementing something like this in my practice?
Right. Well, it's a good example where, you know, the back end piece is one piece, and what now you're talking about is sort of re-architecting the whole process flow of a core business process that underlies an accounting firm.
Sure.
And so I think where we begin is really building again that vision of here's our current state, here's our future state, and here's the benefit to the organization. I can't stress enough how important it is for us to really quantify what's in it for us to do this. Because with change comes new behaviors, comes new tools, new technologies, and we're blending all these key ingredients together to a new culture, a new organizational culture. So what's in it for us to do that? Because we're disrupting, to your point earlier, we're disrupting the status quo. So what I want to do is build that overall vision, but then I want to take it one piece at a time. It's sort of like, you know, drinking out of a water hose. We've got to slow the rate down a bit so we can digest it. So I want to then be a bit strategic with this back end piece, for example, we're going to start there. Okay. And we've been doing that for a while. We've gone from, again, the paper file cabinets, as you said, to a electronic file cabinet. And that's something we can all get our head around because we do that with our computers every day. I mean, we've got file folders and, you know, this is routine and familiar to us, and that's good because I can associate with that. So then we get, now that we have that in place and we've digested that, now what's next? And that roadmap for what's next is part of that overall sort of architecture, if you will, or that overall workflow that we've designed as our new business process. And we just digest one piece at a time. We take a project approach. We put some goals and milestones around it. When are we going to get to this point, to that point, right? And that then gives me an opportunity to look at my team and say, and here's where all of you play a role in us getting there. So they're bought in. They're engaged. They're part of the solution as opposed to being part of the, you know, sort of this is hitting us and what are we going to do about it? Nothing like giving people, you know, a tool and saying, hey, jump in and help me, as opposed to, oh my gosh, what's coming down the road? So they engage, we engage, everybody wins. So these are some thoughts. Yeah.
Let's say I have a staff of 10.
Okay.
You know, and I'm the managing partner. I'm kind of running the show. You know, a traditional way is that, you know, I'm at a conference and boy, I hear this idea that it makes sense and all these other firms are moving to front-end scanning.
Mm-hmm.
I come back and I just say one day, hey, we're going to move to front-end scanning. Doesn't sound like that's what you're recommending here. It sounds like what you're telling me is I need to maybe sit down with the team, a few key stockholders or stakeholders in the firm, and talk about where would front-end scanning get us? What would be the value proposition? What would that look like, and what would the value of that be? Would that be the where I would want to start?
I completely agree. Well said. Front-end scanning, as an example, is a means to an end. Right? Front-end scanning in and of itself is not the value. It's what does front-end scanning do for us? So again, as you said, let's translate making that change into some tangible value for us. And that tangible value would traditionally be our profitability goes up because we can operate at a lower base cost, or I can free up my knowledge workers to do other more higher value things than process the paper coming in. So we want to look at productivity gains, financial gains, efficiency gains. Where are the gains by bringing in this new process technology? And let's speak about it, as you said, from the managing partner perspective. You want to speak in those high-level terms and looking at the big picture. With that big picture agreed to and supported by the organization, because you're the managing partner, one could say, well, I don't need everybody to be bought in because they work for me, and while I certainly want them to be on board, I mean, at the end of the day, I run the show. And one that might have that perspective is right. But if we want to sustain change, they've got to see what's in it for them as well. And that's, I think, a key piece of effective leadership that we speak to that. And we can translate what we're going to do in those terms so that they own it. And if they own it, then they will sustain it.
So now I hear this idea at a conference, or I listen to this podcast or whatever the case might be, and I come back, and maybe I circle around with some of my key stakeholders, and we start having a discussion about, you know, what might this look like and what would our key benefits be from this, and we try to document some of that. Would that be the first place for me to start?
That's right. So this is where, for example, we'd borrow from some good fundamental project management discipline, and we'd say, what are the critical, what we call CSIs, what are the critical success indicators for making this change? So, for example, I might translate that into increase our capacity to process returns.
Yeah.
I want to be able to do 25% more by next season, right? Achieve compliance of the paperless workflow as the new firm standard, right? Might be another goal. And I want to get there by third quarter.
Okay.
Reduce our tax preparation hours would be another example. So I want to translate it into, you know, behaviors and process changes that benefit us. And then the other piece, answer to that question is, you define a critical success indicator and then answer these questions: by how much and by when? So if you tell me, I want to become more efficient in this way, okay, great. By how much more efficient and by when? This is about that journey, right?
Yeah.
And there's the end point, and that helps define that end point.
You know, these key are these, what do you call them, critical success indicators, the CSIs.
Yeah, we wouldn't be official, Darren, if we didn't have an acronym, right? So
absolutely.
Let's call it CSI, there you go.
Yeah. But that seems like a big part to me, because, I mean, I talk to so many firms that say, you know, I want to move to front-end scanning, or I want to add portals, and that's a general statement, but they don't create any of these CSIs to actually
that's
get
right.
there.
Right.
Okay, so we create these goals now. So we have some critical success indicators, and I've met with my team, and we think this makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
What's next?
Great. Well, then we've got to put a plan together, because, again, we're taking a project approach. So putting a plan together says, okay, I've got some, as you said, some CSIs. We've got to break that down into what we call deliverables. These are the artifacts, if you will, or the outcomes of the project. These are the things that we must, so, for example, front-end scanning in place, right? So that's a deliverable. Okay, so what do we have to do to accomplish that? Well, we've got to find, for example, the Center for Project Management is connected with SurePrep, a leading organization in this space. These are the types of solutions they offer. So this would be a source of that technology and that competency and expertise for the accounting firm to reach out and what we call scope or define what does it take to meet that critical success indicator from a software perspective, from a labor perspective, from a cost perspective. This begins to add body to our project, because ultimately there's going to be things that our providers do for us, those external providers, and there's things that we're going to have to do internally. We're going to have to assign ourselves to do certain things differently, to implement this software, to get trained on this software, to bring in these new hardware pieces, scanners and other such things, that put us in a position to accomplish those CSIs. So what I want to do is organize ourselves for all that work and scope it, define it, so I know how much it's going to cost me, how long it's going to take, right? All of those kind of traditional project pieces. So in summary, the next step is build the plan, and then we go from there.
So we break it down into these really pretty definable pieces.
Yeah.
And an example would be, like you mentioned, okay, I don't have any scanners in the office, or I don't have enough scanners in the office to accomplish this. So you might analyze how many of those you may need, and that becomes a piece, right?
That's right.
Other pieces of that could be, you know, having the right staffing, mm-hmm. having the right training,
yes.
and all that kind of stuff. So you identify those pieces, and you develop, so your plan is the next piece.
Yes, and so at a high level, we would call that scoping the project and then translating that scope, that high-level definition, into the actual tangible pieces, the tasks and the
okay.
deliverables, right? The actions and the things that we want to produce. And
okay.
then we've got to estimate all of that. We've got to figure out, again, how long it's going to take and how much it's going to cost. So we can budget, of course, and just like any investment we make in the business, because that's what this is an investment.
Yeah.
We have an expectation for that investment, so we want to clarify that return that we expect on that investment. And this ties us back to what we spoke of earlier, those CSIs, because certainly those critical success indicators should reflect that return on our investment. So it's all coming together now. And then we're assigning people to the work. We're assigning the team. We are, you know, executing our game plan. And oftentimes in this space where we're bringing in new technologies, hardware and software, we're partnering with our providers.
Yep.
And this is where, again, AssurePrep would come into play. And this is where, for example, my firm would come into play, where we're helping to shepherd through this change management process. And this is part of what's very important for the firm to understand: how much help do we need? If we have a managing partner in this example that we're using with you, you know, you're an expert in this field. You know these things, so you may not need as much external help. Another managing partner may not be as familiar, so that we've got to gauge what kind of support do we need. And that's going to differ from situation to situation. But the great news is there's a lot of resources out there that can help you figure that out very quickly. And that, again, becomes part of that game plan.
Okay, so now I've got this game plan together. And another question came to mind. I hear this idea or this concept of a product champion quite a bit.
Yes.
Where does that fit into any of this?
Sure. Well, I'd introduce two terms here. I'd introduce champion, and I also introduce sponsor. So as the managing partner, you're the sponsor of the overall project of automating the organization.
Okay.
Because the sponsor owns the budget, you've got the money, and you're positioned in the organization to make all the decisions surrounding this effort. And that's exactly what you do. You fund it, and you oversee it, and you drive it through. Now, you'd also have, and while we're talking about roles, if I may, let me introduce a couple of key roles. We also need a project manager, because that's the person who's responsible for executing the vision that you as the sponsor own, because you have a future state that you want for your organization, and the project manager's job is to execute against that vision, which we have clarified in our plan. Now, in a small organization, sometimes, as we know, we wear many hats. So these roles can merge, you know, and you may be both the sponsor and the project manager, and that's
sure.
Okay. That's okay. We just have to be familiar with these different hats. To your question, the champion, when we think about that business process, that workflow process, well, there are key elements of that workflow, and oftentimes what we will do is nominate or identify champions that own each process, so the front-end processing piece, the back-end processing piece. These are different domains of activity, and oftentimes we want to have a champion that oversees and sort of, if you will, owns that operational piece to ensure quality is met, to ensure consistency is met, in these sorts of things.
Okay. All right, so I have this plan, and I have these people in place.
Mm-hmm.
What's my next step?
Sure. Well, then we execute. Then, in other words, we get to work. And we get to work in concert and in reflection of that plan, because we've estimated when and how we're going to do this. Because all the folks in your firm, in this example, that are working on this project also have full-time jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So this is incremental to their everyday, full-time, very busy jobs. So in the accounting situation, in the accounting scenario, accounting firm scenario, of course, a seasonal organization. So we want to find our opportunities in terms of windows of opportunity where this is best to invest in these changes. And then in those windows of time, so for example, right now is a great time to really dig into this kind of change in the organization, because we've got a window here. And we execute against that plan. And as we're executing and working through our activities, so our vendors are in, installing and implementing and training, and we're piloting this, we're going to take a number of returns and we're going to go through it, and if you will, get our feet wet, really get familiar with it and get tuned up for this, so that by the time it's prime time and it's time to actually, you know, busy season, this is new. This is not new. This is familiar. We're comfortable, and we're good to go. So this is, again, high level, the vision that as a managing partner I'd like you to have when you're looking at this. And as a worker, as a team member, I'm feeling more comfortable with the change because, hey, you know what? My leadership, my firm is putting me in a position to succeed. So my attitude is positive and I'm more open to it, I'm more willing to participate, and we can do a good job.
Is this the point, Raj, where I would consider creating a test group of clients, if you will, or something to work through and work the kinks out? When would I? Is this the part of the process I would think about that?
Certainly. What we want to do is once we've implemented the software, the technologies, the hardware, we've had the first level of training where we've, in a formal fashion, and again, thinking about SurePrep, they've got a really sophisticated, great training solution that puts their customers in a position to quickly understand and absorb how to use the solution. Once your team has had that exposure, then absolutely we want to pilot this. We want to run a number of real-time, actual, example documents, returns through the process, so we can trip and fall, right? Because we've got to trip and fall a little bit and get the kinks out, and that's great because that's how we don't, as you know, any of us in a leadership role understand, you can't get better if you don't make some mistakes, and that's okay, and that's part of healthy change management.
Yeah.
Not having an expectation that it's all going to be perfect, but giving us a window where we can make those mistakes in a protected fashion as opposed to going live without the benefit of some of that perspective.
Yeah. So it seems like you kind of test and refine, and at the end you come out with, what feels like a good workflow. Is that
yes.
fair?
Yes, absolutely. And this is, again, great example, borrowing from the project management discipline, quality management, a big piece of this. And that test and refine is exactly that. We do a little bit, and we see what works and what doesn't. And we tweak it, and we refine it. And that's a continuous improvement model, which is a very, very good, healthy thing to do. And I'd like to give all of our listeners some guidance. As leaders, set that expectation that it's okay for it not to be perfect when we get started.
Yeah.
Because that really reduces the fear. Because I work for you, and I'm now going to do things differently. I used to own this paper process, and now some of that's kind of slipping through my fingers emotionally, right? Because now there's an automated capability there, and I don't know if I'm really happy about that. And on top of that, if you're expecting me to be perfect right out of the gate, I'm going to get scared. So as leaders, we need to set that expectation that it's okay. But timing is everything, remember, because we're seasonal, so we've got to find our window so that we can, we can give our team that ability.
So now I've tested and refined, and I feel like I've got a pretty good process down. I'm assuming at that point you want me to document this.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I've got this documented. Now I've got 1,000 clients. Do I bite off the whole enchilada, or do I say, I think this busy season we're going to try to move front-end scanning up on 25%? Or what's your suggestion there?
Sure. So this is a case-by-case decision that we make here, but the overall guidance is you don't bite off too much than at one time. So absolutely you want to take a portion of your customer base and introduce that portion to elements of this new process. Now, it's my sense that in our discussion today, I wouldn't want to be overly prescriptive in this area in terms of giving our listeners specific thoughts on that. Rather, what I want to do is have them team with their providers in this space that are helping them to implement these new technologies and estimate, define what is a manageable piece that we want to now bring into this new workflow. Because some of the, and the reason being, some of the factors we want to consider here is what's the size of our firm,
yeah.
What's the size of our customer base, how ready and familiar and comfortable is our team with these new technologies, right? How much opportunity have we had to practice? So these are all situational factors, but we need to look at those and then with that make a reasonable, and I wouldn't be overly conservative and I wouldn't be overly aggressive. I'd just be a good, solid, reasonable number, and from there then you execute.
And so now you've been through the busy season, you've executed on what you felt comfortable with, and I suspect at that point you're going to regroup with your team again and evaluate, you know, how did that work, what went well, what didn't go so well, what can we fix, and that's probably an ongoing process. Would that be fair?
Absolutely. That lessons learned piece is key, and as you said there, this is a very important nuance that I just want to reinforce, that checking in and seeing how we're doing is not something that we wait until the end of the busy season to look back on.
Okay.
Because as frenetic and pressed as busy season can be for us, we want to organize ourselves to take, you know, micro breaks, if you will, in the process along the way and say, okay, how's this going? Let's refine. Let's continue to tune this to our environment.
Yeah.
And then certainly once we have an opportunity to take a sort of a reasonable break at the end of the season, then we can do a more thoughtful lessons learned and take a deeper look.
I want to borrow a quote I heard from Stephen Covey before, that sometimes we get too busy driving to stop and get gas.
That's right.
And, you know, I think during busy season, accounting firms specifically, you know, feel like they don't have time to stop and think. And so they'll just keep beating that same process over and over, and we'll say, well, we'll work on that on April 16th. Just an hour or two or maybe three or four spent on March 15th or March 1st could have really made things better and decreased the amount of frustration.
I really want to reinforce that those minor course corrections absolutely can make a huge difference. And that's why, again, tying it back to an earlier point we touched on, taking a project approach, if our plan for this whole effort includes that and we organize and schedule ourselves for that, it helps to ensure that we'll actually do it. If we take a more reactive, let's do the best we can with what we have kind of mentality, then those should have kind of things like this course correction piece tend to fall to the side, and we focus on what we feel like we must do, which is get the work done for our clients.
Raj, great information today. I mean, this is really helpful. And I you know, we talked about front-end scanning today a little bit, but I mean, I can see this applying to every project that I do in my office as far as things that I want to change, whether I'm changing accounting software or going to portals or whatever the case might be. This seems like this is pretty universal, right?
We certainly agree. We think of these as universal truths, take a project approach to moving the organization forward, whatever that might be. Change management is a constant piece of making, bringing in new technologies, and we always want to suggest don't underestimate the impact of change. The value that something may bring to us isn't enough in and of itself to compel us, because even though it's going to be a great thing for us, getting there can be difficult. So take a project approach. Really take a close look at change management. And to help all of our listeners do that, if they go to sureprep.com/change, there's an extensive white paper that I authored on this specific to automating the tax work paper process and flow. And it really speaks to many of the things we've touched on today and much more. So that's a free download. Really encourage everyone to take a close look at that. And Darren, as always, it's been great to be with you today.
Same with you, Raj. Thanks so much for the information, and look forward to being with you again.
Absolutely. We'll see you then.
All right. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
To ask questions or leave comments about our podcasts, call 800-456-0864, extension 2106, or tune in to future episodes where you're able to ask questions live via TalkShoe.com.